Praise the Lord, everyone. You can be seated. I want to thank Pastor Phil for doing such a tremendous job this morning, preaching. He brought up a point in his message. I just think it's awesome. I just shared this with him. When he spoke this morning of the Israelites, Joshua, the one mistake he made when they went into the promised land, they conquered Jericho, and they went to Ai, and they conquered Ai, and word got around, and the Gibeonites disguised themselves as basically homeless vagabonds and approached Joshua, and Joshua, without consulting the Lord, formed a treaty with the Gibeonites. One of the greatest miracles in the entire universe happened as a result of Joshua's mistake. Now you may say, how did that happen, or what are you talking about? Joshua made an agreement with the Gibeonites that will protect you. And when the enemies of the Gibeonites went up against the Gibeonites, they called upon Joshua and the men of Israel, and they marched all night long and attacked the enemies, five kings, at dawn the next day. And that was the day that God allowed the sun to stand still. So sometimes in your life, you may think, I've made a mistake. I shouldn't have done what I did. Sometimes God can take some mistake and turn it into something supernatural. So if you're here tonight and you're struggling and you're thinking, I've made so many mistakes in my life, God is saying, if you'll just allow me to be God, I can do the supernatural. Oh, I just thought that was interesting. That's the history buff that comes out in me. Show Me Your Glory series. We've been preaching this since the beginning of January. We've gone different directions with this, and this message tonight is the last of this three-message series. I've been preaching the series, Praying for the Price of the Supernatural. I believe that a church that prays together stays together, a family that prays together stays together. I believe that there's power in prayer, and I want to continue to challenge the church tonight to continue to pray. I've asked you to take and spend time every morning as you drive to work in prayer. And as I said, watch and pray. Watch while you're driving, but pray that God would put someone in your path that day that you could take and be of a witness to. I would like to take and continue that vein tonight, but I would like to change just a little bit in something that I believe that God has led me to speak on tonight, and I think the timing is very important here. I would like to preach on crossing over to the supernatural. I believe that God is calling us to reach out to Him. I believe that through power and through prayer, that when we begin to pray and we begin to take and fast and we put our flesh under subjection, that God begins to move. We begin to force the hand of God when God says to prove me. And God is saying, Calvary Gospel Church, Saint of Calvary Gospel Church, I challenge you tonight and prove me. I believe tonight that God desires to move us from the level that we are on, whatever level that may be, to the level that He desires us to be. I believe that every level we go in God, there is a deeper commitment and a deeper sacrifice and a heavier price that has to be paid. You may wonder tonight why some people God is using in a mighty way, and you have been here perhaps the same amount of time and you don't seem to be anywhere near. It's probably because you have not been willing to pay the price of the supernatural. You have not been willing to pay the price that God is calling you to pay. You have not been willing to sacrifice your time and your efforts in prayer and fasting when other people are on their knees praying you're playing your video games. That is why you do not experience the supernatural. Some of you here tonight will experience God in a great and mighty way, and some of you will be sorely disappointed because you have not been willing to pay the price. I believe that God is calling me to get and to preach and to warn that we must get ready. I believe that the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture, is right around the corner. I believe that time is short. If you do not have the Holy Ghost tonight, if you have not repented of your sins or been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, you are on very, very thin ice. I'm not here tonight to tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear. I'm here tonight to tell you what you need to hear to get into the kingdom of heaven so you do not spend eternity in hell. I do not ever want to stand before God and say I never preached salvation. I never preached the word of God. I believe in the word of God. We will be judged by what God says in his word, what some evangelistic preacher on TV tells you you do or don't have to do. We will be judged by every word that is in the book. Church, there's an onslaught that is coming our way, and we must be ready to confront it. I have talked about confronting the enemy, but not only confronting the enemy. In times past, we have confronted and backed away. I believe God is saying, now is the time to confront. And when you confront, I will give you the power, and I will give you the authority. I will give you the supernatural, and you will be under the umbrella of my glory. And when you confront the enemy, you will conquer the enemy. Isaiah 59:19 says, so they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Understand, many people do not understand this scripture because they don't read it correctly. It is the Spirit of the Lord that shall rise like a flood, not the enemy. People usually read this scripture. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That is not the correct way to read that scripture. But the original version, when you read it, it says, when the enemy shall come in, comma. When the enemy shall come in, comma. Pause. Like a flood. Like a flood, comma. The Lord shall rise up a standard against him. The enemy is not coming like a flood. He's coming in like a flood, but the Lord like a flood. The Lord like a flood. The Lord like a flood. The Lord like a tsunami wave. The enemy comes in and the Lord like a flood will raise up a standard against him. Church, we must prepare ourselves for the battle that is ahead. We will not be defeated. We will not be defeated. We will be victorious. God has a church. God has always had a church. God has a people. He has always had a people. We are an army, and we are the army of the Jesus Christ. We are an army of the Most High God. We have been filled with his power, and we are covered by his blood, and we are marching under his banner. It is his glory. It is his name that is and will be exalted. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. I love that. I will be exalted. This isn't someone writing about God. This is God telling the psalmist, I want you to write this about me. I want this to go in my autobiography, the Bible. I want you to take and put this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. You know what that tells me? Heathen don't believe. That's why they're called heathen. So I will be exalted. That simply means that heathen will someday believe. It may be a forced belief. They may not have a choice. But when you have the Almighty God standing before you, you don't have a choice in the matter anymore. I will be exalted. And I will be exalted in all the earth. In all the earth. Tonight, we are here not just out of habit. We're here tonight not just out of a desire for fellowship, but we're here tonight because we are hungry for a touch of God in our lives. I believe each one of us has a calling. You may say, well, Pastor, you hardly know me. Well, I may hardly know you, but you probably hardly know me as well. And I believe that every one of us in this place has a calling on their life. I believe that God has a mission for the lives of every one of us here tonight. A mission that is from the Almighty God Himself. It's not a mission from your pastor. It's not a mission from your ministry leader. Or it may not be a mission from husband, wife, whatever. It's a mission from the Almighty God. Each family, I believe God has a calling on your family. Each ministry in this church, I believe God has a mission for each ministry. Each ministry has a mission. Each and every one of us should have a strong desire and a hunger for more things of God. We have come to a place in our lives where we must refuse to tolerate. We must refuse to tolerate the things of the past. We must refuse to be satisfied with the past blessings. Not that we're not to be unthankful for what God has done in the past. It's not that we are to be unthankful for our past blessings. But we cannot live in the past. We must have a hunger. We must have a hunger for what God desires to do in our lives and what God desires to do in our families and what God desires to do in our church. I can feel it. I can feel it here. I can feel it right now. I hope you can feel it, that God is on the move. The power of God is in this place. The power of God is on the move in our lives. Church, the cloud is moving. It's moving by day and by fire. It's moving by night. And we must understand that God is a God of constant change. He is a God of constant transition. He is a God that is always moving. He is a God that shifting. And when God shifts, we shift. If God goes to the right, we go to the right. If God goes to the left, we go to the left. If God says stay, we stay. If God says move, we move. And God is saying, church, arise and move. We need to reposition ourselves to live a life with God and to live a life that is without limits. So many times in our lives, we put limitations on God because our lack of understanding and our lack of faith, and we limit God, and God is saying, church, rise, untether me, unshackle me, and let me be God. We need to understand one thing about the Word of God scattered throughout the pages of history. We find story after story of people, all about people. The Bible is basically a history book. It's an autobiography of how God transitions or deals with people. It's about how God reacts to people, and humanity reacts with God. It's how people position themselves to be used by God. It's how they transition themselves and how they allowed God to transition them from the person they were to the person God desired them to be. We read in Matthew 4:18 through 22 how Jesus found a bunch of fishermen scattered along the shores of Galilee, and one by one he began to call them out and say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Abraham, of the Chaldees, Noah, a family man who became a world saver, Daniel, who was a young man to an old prophet, and Gideon, from the least to the greatest general, and the list can go on and on and on. I read tonight in my story text of 2 Kings 2, verses 1 and 2, and then also verse 11. And here is a story about such a transition. How many of you feel like God is transitioning you in your life? How many of you are ready for God to transition you in your life? And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. That's verse 11. So we missed out a little bit of the story, and we will cover in the story and the transition in the story. Elijah was aware that his life was about to change. Elisha was Elijah's servant. And in a way, everywhere that Elijah went, Elisha was right behind him. He followed him everywhere he went. Elisha, he took his oxen, he took his plow, he broke up his plow, he slaughtered his oxen, he put them on the plow, and he performed a sacrifice, and he looked back no longer. Elisha had seen God do some amazing things through his servant Elijah. He had watched Elijah's God stopped the rains from falling from the heavens, as well as watching this same God rain down fire from heaven, as Brother Phil spoke of this morning. But Elisha desired something from God, and what he desired, he knew that the old prophet had it, and he was going to stop at nothing to get it. He understood that the anointing of God had been placed on Elijah, and he was going to take, and he was going to seek after that. Listen, church, God, where God is taking you, where God is taking us, it's going to take an unusual anointing. We're going to need the power of the supernatural, the journey that God desires to take this church on. The journey that God desires is going to require a double portion of his anointing, not just on the lives of your pastor, not on the lives of leadership, but on the lives of the saints of Calvary Gospel Church. It is not out of the realm. God has always used the common and the ordinary. People don't need to see us. They need to see and feel the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost as it flows through us. On our jobs, they've seen enough. They've seen enough of Jim Rivas. We need to show God. We need to show Jesus through us. God has seen enough of Glenn Uselman. The workplace has seen enough of Glenn Uselman. They need to see the anointing and the power of the supernatural in Glenn Uselman. That can go for each and every one of us. I could go through a name after name after name. God is desiring to use us in the supernatural. They need to see and feel Jesus Christ in our lives. Reading from 2 Kings 2:9, it says, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. You've been a good servant. You've taken care of me. Do you have any last request? Elisha is going to make a spiritual request from Elijah. He says, I want a double portion of Elijah's spirit. I want a double portion of the anointing that you have. I want a double portion of the supernatural that is operating within your life. If you look back into 1 Kings chapter 19, you will find that God had already spoken to Elijah concerning Elisha. He says in Jeru, thou shalt anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha anoint him to be prophet in your stead or in your room or in your place. The law of Deuteronomy tells us that the firstborn, the first son, would be the one that received the double portion blessing. Remember, when you look into the double portion, this is what happened, the conflict between Jacob and Esau. And you can search that out on your own. But Elisha, he is not Elijah's son. But Elisha is asking God to give him something that breaks all types of protocol. He is asking him to give him something that breaks the laws of the Levitical laws that have been in place by God. He is asking him to break the rules as to how the blessings of God are to be proportioned out. When he asks for a double blessing, you have to know and you have to understand what you asked for. Elisha, no doubt, had noticed some things about Elijah's life, some things that he desired for himself. He noticed that he had a spirit of faith. Faith is nothing more than a simple decision to believe. It is nothing more than a simple decision when God says, by faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's a simple decision to believe simply what you cannot see. It's a simple decision to believe something that has not yet come to pass, but believe it as if it has already passed. But the tough part is telling is all of that other junk. Brother Phil covered it so well this morning about being quiet and being still and knowing that I am God. God is asking us, church, to walk in faith. He's asking us to walk in faith, not to walk in fear. We cannot walk around doubting God's word. We cannot walk around doubting words that have come across in this pulpit. You have to have the faith to keep pressing forward. You have to have the faith to keep pressing on. And Elijah, he had a spirit of obedience. Obey God even when the command doesn't make sense. Pouring water is Brother Phil. These messages are just hand in hand with this morning and tonight. Pouring water on the sacrifice at Mount Carmel. Elijah obeyed God even when it didn't make sense because he understood that obedience is better than sacrifice. You can't expect God to bless you if you're going to continue to try to do your own thing. If you want God to bless you, you better line yourself up with the leadership of this church. If you want God to bless you, you better line yourself up with the Word of God, because God's not going to bless something that He can't endorse. You wonder sometimes, why doesn't God bless me? Check out how you spend your money. If you never pay your tithes, don't ever expect a blessing. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. If you're here tonight, obviously you're here tonight. I say that all the time. It's a habit. Some of you say other things that are a habit. Tonight, sitting here, you wonder why other people are blessed, why other people get new cars. Congratulations, Brother and Sister Brown, on your new RAV4. Another RAV4 fan? Yes, the RAV4 owners in the house. They're great cars. You wonder why people get blessed? It's not always because they make more money than you. They just understand the priorities of their money. You want to stay broke all your life? Be stingy with God, and you'll be broke all your life. You'll never get ahead. That was for free. God needs people who are not going to run. I've seen this happen so many times. We've heard this: when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So many times as Christians, when the going gets tough, we bail because we're not willing to pay the price. God needs people who know that they're more than conquerors. He needs people who are trustworthy. He needs people who are dependable, people who are faithful, men and women of character and integrity, people who can pray, people who can fast, people who can stay strong in the Word. All of these things If you want to know why you're not experiencing and you may never experience God in the supernatural, is because of what I just simply listed off right there. If you can't pray, if you can't stay, if you can't fast, if you can't stay strong in the Word, you're never going to get there. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Elijah has not asked for a double anointing because he desired wealth or position. He was asking God to be the controlling factor in his life. Many times we ask great things from God, but too often we have the wrong motives. I want to challenge you, this week's challenge. I want to present just a multitude of challenges this year for all of us. I want you to go one solid week praying for other needs than your own. One solid week. I don't want you to pray one time until next Sunday night. I won't be speaking next Sunday night. Brother Aaron Soto will be speaking. But I want you to go one solid week and bite your tongue when you need, if you need a financial blessing, don't ask God for it. Ask God to bless a brother or sister that are struggling financially. See, so many times we get ourselves in this me rut. It's all about me, God. It's all about my need. What about me? And we get selfish in our prayers. And God says, you know what? I can't bless this because your motives are not pure. 2 Kings 2:10 says, and he said, thou hast made or asked a hard thing. So when Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion, he says, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So what Elijah is telling Elisha is, if you see me when I ascend into the heavens, I have an appointment with destiny. I have an appointment with a fiery chariot and an almighty God. If you're there and you see me at that moment, then what you have asked will be granted. But if not, it will not be so. We must understand that this is a process. Elisha would only get his promise if he witnessed Elijah's transition. The blessing of the Lord will be reserved for people that can endure the process. Elisha will be taken through a process, but it is just a test. Church, many of us are going through a process right now, and it is just a test. God is testing for faithfulness. God is testing for temperance. God is testing for all different types. We're all being tested at a different level. My test is not the same as your test. God may test you with your job. God may test me with my finances. God may test you with a problem or a situation. God is going to test every one of us different, because we're all different. God knows in my heart what I hold dearest, and he's going to say, whatever you hold dearest, that's what I want. What I hold dear may not be the same that you hold dear. The choice will be, are you willing to proceed? Are you willing to change lanes here? Are you willing to take and make the right choices? God will present you. He will present me with options. He's not going to present us. Understand something. When God's working in your life, he's not going to present you with a temptation. He's going to present you with an option. And through that, we have to understand, do we wish to remain where we are in our place of comfort, or do we wish to make the choice? We get to choose. Do we stay in our comfort zone, or do we move forward with God? We will face opposition, but understand one thing, opposition cannot shake our resolve. Opposition cannot shake us. We read in 2 Kings 2:3, into the story. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou the Lord? Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Now this amazes me. This amazes me. As if God says, Roy, today I'm going to take Phil Demas out of this earth on a fiery chariot. And if you're there waiting, I will give you the mantle. The prophets, the sons of the prophets, they all knew the same thing. They all had access to the same information. They knew it as if there was a bulletin out. Elijah is being taken up into heavens today. All of Israel probably knew and heard about it. It's not something you witness every day. Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he says, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. He's saying, yeah, I know it. I understand it. What's your point? Whatever you are seeking, or whenever you're seeking something from God, you will always have people that are going to try to discourage you and try to tell you that the journey that you were on is in vain. If you know what you are after, stop allowing people to speak negativity into your life. So many times we allow other people and their negative thoughts and their negative spirits to determine what we do or don't do. When are you going to stop living your life for the negative nannies that are living in it? Get rid of them. Kick them out. I don't care how much of a friend they are. If they're deterring you from what God has called you to do, kick them to the curb. That sounds really harsh. But listen, it's the negative spirits that speak into our life that keep us in the trouble that we get into. If you know people, stop allowing it. Opportunities. Reading on, 2 Kings 2, 1 and 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Church, we are going through a process. Understand one thing, that Elijah tells Elisha, Gilgal. They were at Gilgal. Gilgal is a good place to stay. There's easy ministries here. It's easy ministries abound. You're at 101. Go ahead, stay in 101. It's a great place to stay. But God is calling us up. But I like 101. I want to stay in 101. I don't want to go any deeper. This is where I want to live. There's friendly folks here. There's no pressure here. There's limited expectations here. But Elisha says, sorry, with all due respect to Elijah, I love you. You are a man of God, but I am not staying here in Gilgal. If you're going to Bethel, then I'm going to Bethel with you. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going. I don't care where the road leads. Wherever you go, that's where I go. I'm not staying where I am at. I am moving up, and I am moving forward, and I am moving on. If you want to stay here, church, if you want to stay in Gilgal, then stay in Gilgal. But I'm moving on to Bethel. I've started out on a journey. I'm not going to be deterred. I'm going to finish what God has started in my life. I'm going to continue to go through the process. I'm changing lanes, and I'm switching gears, and I'm in this for the long haul. Nothing you can say, nothing you can do is going to keep me from winning my prize. I'm finishing what I started. You see, church, Gilgal had significance in the lives of Israel. Gilgal was a place of beginning. And you can read in Joshua chapter 5. This was a place where the Israelites first celebrated the promised land. It's where they had their first Passover in the promised land. It was a place of new beginnings. It is a place where if we're not careful, we can get stuck. Many times, many people come to the Gilgal of their lives and they remain stuck here because it's a place of comfort. comfort. It's our comfort zone. It is where he can develop the attitude that says, this is the way I've always done it. I want you to understand one thing. The only difference between a rut and a grave is the measurement. God speaks to us just like Elijah spoke to Elisha. You can stay here if you desire, Elisha, but I'm going somewhere else. I've got a date with destiny. And they kept on going to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, understand, now we have sons of prophets in Bethel, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. You can go ahead and be quiet. They told me that back at Gilgal. I'm here at Bethel. I don't want to hear it anymore. Elijah told Elisha, he says, you can stay here if you'd like. But Elisha is after something. He says, I am after the double portion. I am after and seeking after the supernatural. Church, if we're going to reach the supernatural, we can't stay where we are right now. God is saying, move forward, church. With all due respect, I'm not going to get where we're going. We're not going to get what God desires to do in our lives if we stay where we are right now. We need that kind of attitude in our lives today. Bethel represents a place of dreams. You can go into Genesis chapter 28, and Bethel is where Jacob met with God and dreamed of the angels ascending and descending into heaven. And many of us get stuck here in Bethel. Bethel is a place where we catch on to our dreams. It's a place where we receive the vision in our lives. It may be a camp meeting service. It may be a general conference. It may be a hyphen event. It may be youth camp or midwinter camp. But the problem is, many of us will catch the vision, but we never move forward to see that vision or that dream fulfilled. Bethel is a place where we get stuck at what could have been in our lives. In other words, if you just stay here, we're going to keep dreaming about someday, somehow, in some way of doing something for God, but never seeming to get it going or get it done. We cannot afford to stay in Bethel. It served its purpose. God gave us the dream, the vision, the plans, the vision statement out in the vestibule. That is our Bethel. There is a reason for being there, but God is calling us forward. Elijah tells Elisha, he said, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Now they make it to Jericho. 2 Kings 2:5 says, notice a pattern here. The same mindsets in all the prophets. The same old story. They all knew what was going to take place. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thee that the Lord is going to... Yes, I know it! I know it. I know it. People were saying to Elisha, how long are you going to tarry with the old prophet? What kind of future is in it for you? You know, he's getting called out of here today. Within a few hours, he's going to be gone. What point is it? Elisha, and following after something that's going to disappear. How long are you going to tarry? What kind of future is in it for you? How long are you going to carry his water? How long are you going to cook his meals? How long are you going to wash his clothes? Some of you young men may be getting pressure. How long are you going to tarry there in that church? How long are you going to work under that pastor? How long are you going to put up with that? You know, you can go out and do your own thing. You don't have to carry someone else's water. You can carry your own water. You can cook your own food. Are you still going to go with this old man? And Elisha again was telling them, shh, I'm after something. I'm after something. Elijah again asked Elisha to stay behind. And by now we ought to know the process, that this is a test from God. Everywhere they go, Elijah is asked to stay behind, but he simply refuses. You have to understand, the significance of Jericho. Jericho is a place of past victories. This is a place where God gave the Israelites their very first victory in Joshua chapter 6. For many of us, it is in this place where we began to reminisce when we get to Jericho about past victories. It can easily become a stumbling block as many of us continue to live in our past and live off our past victories. I spoke on this recently. This is a part when we always say, back in the day. Remember back in the day, Sister Johnson? Back in the day. I'm ready to make some new days. I'm ready for some new power. I appreciate the power of Pentecost, but I want to experience the power of Madison. I want to experience the supernatural in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm not interested so much as what happened in Jerusalem. That's past. That's past. I'm interested in what God is going to do here in Madison, Wisconsin. See, we got to understand one thing about God. If God can do it then, He can do it now. There are very few things in the Word that God says, I will never do this again. I will never destroy the earth again by water. That's why there's global warming. Don't worry, we're not going to all flood out. We're not going to all have to live in life rafts. God says, I'll never destroy the earth again by water. If you buy land in a bowl, be prepared to get flooded. It's got nothing to do with global warming. It's everything to do with location stupidity. All right? The power, God's power and anointing does not diminish with time or with age. In the very beginning, when God says, let there be light, He has exactly the same amount of power. He has exactly the same amount of authority as He had then, as He has now. His supernatural abilities do not diminish with time. Our concept of God, it either increases or it decreases over time as we walk with God. So many times people drop out because their faith decreases. God, I'll remember back in my life when God used to move. I don't know where God's at. When's the last time you prayed? I don't know. A couple days ago, I guess. I talked with God for a few minutes going to work when someone almost crashed me. I said, dear God, what an idiot driver. Listen, God's not walking away from you. We walk away from God. You see, God desires to do something new in our lives, but in order for Him to do something new, we have to get out of yesterday. Moving on, and they came to the Jordan, 2 Kings 2:7. It says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went. At least now they went. They got up. They left Jericho. They came to the Jordan. Here they are. But they didn't want to be involved. They stood to view afar off. Afar off. You see, Jordan is a place of death. They stood back because the River of Jordan represents the boundary of the Promised Land. Some of us in our lives, we come to Jordan and it's a barrier between our flesh and our spirit. Jordan represents not getting stuck at what should be in our lives. We're not supposed to sit back thinking about what we should have done or what we could have done. We can't allow opportunities to cause us to miss out what God has for our life. But for so many of us, when we come to the banks of the Jordan River, what do? We say, okay, God, I've come as far as I can go. You see, Lord, You've placed this barrier in my life. You have led me to this place. You have placed me in front of the river. It is a barrier, God. I cannot cross it. But God is challenging us tonight. God is challenging you tonight, and He is challenging me tonight. God says to push on. You desire to see the supernatural. You desire to see the glory of God. Keep on praying, church. Keep on praying. You desire to see. Keep on fasting. Keep on pushing the miracle, the supernatural. What you look at is a barrier. God is looking at as a miracle. It's right in front of us, church. The supernatural is as close as my toes to the edge of this altar. We are right there standing on the very barrier of the supernatural, and we're saying, but God, we can't cross over. We have to push through those barriers, church. You see, the obstacle of the Jordan River didn't slow down Elijah. This obstacle did not shake his resolve, nor should it shake ours. Some of us have come so far, quitting is not an option. If you desire to see the supernatural, if you desire to see my glory, if you desire to see God move in great ways, Elijah teaches us that if you are standing still, standing right here before this transition or this transformation goes down, you're going to get what you ask for. But if you're weary, if you grow weary in well-doing, if you're tired of cooking my meals, if you're tired of washing my clothes, if you want to quit, you can go ahead and quit, but you're not going to get it. And with that, he took off his mantle and he smote the waters and he walked across into the unknown. And the 50 sons of the prophets stood afar off, looking on in amazement. Only one man, Elisha, was willing to cross over with him. As our praise team can come, listen, church, tonight, if you could stand to your feet, I believe that the waters are being smitten. Listen, I believe that God is a God of the supernatural. I believe a God is a God of powerful, powerful anointing. God can anoint any life, anywhere, at any time. God can use anyone, anywhere, at any time. But understand one thing, when you cross over into the realm of the supernatural, things begin to happen very quickly. And it came to pass as they went still on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into the heavens. And after not seeing Elijah anymore, Elisha tore his clothes off. Why did he do this? Because he had to get rid of all of that old junk that took and related his old junk, his old flesh, his old past. He's tearing off the remnants of his clothes and saying, that is my past. That is where I have been. That is where I was. But this is where I'm going. I'm going into another direction. I'm going into the supernatural. I'm going into the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm going into the realm of the double portion. And we've got to tear off our old man. We got to put our old self behind in repentance. We got to bury the old self. We got to change our garments. We got to tear off our fear. We got to tear off our doubt. We got to get rid of our depression. We got to get rid of our bitterness, because God is about to give you a new mantle. He's about to give you a new set of clothes. He's about to give you a new direction. And the same power that was on Elijah fell on Elisha. Elisha had every chance to bail out. He had every chance to go back to the farm, to go back to his family and his friends. But he kept on going. From Gilgal to the Jordan River, Elisha refused to stay behind. Every Everywhere he went, we read tonight, people asked Elijah, why are you seeking this anointing? Why are you seeking the supernatural? Why are you seeking after God's glory? And every time he told them to be quiet, because he was headed towards something that was great. You see, church, I believe that we are at the very threshold of the supernatural. You may say, how do you know that, Pastor? The reason I know this is because I know what God is desiring to do in this city. And I can read the headlines and I can read the papers. And I understand that we have very little time left and we have a big job to do. And Brother Glenn, we can't do it without the supernatural. Understand one thing. God has called us, church. He's called us for such a time as this, Brother Ben. He's called us for such a time as this. And he's not going to leave us unprepared. That's why every one of us has to look at ourselves and say, God, what is it that you have called me to do? What is it that you have asked of me, Brother Dave? And God is saying, Brother Glenn, what I'm calling you to do is going to take the supernatural. Because we don't have time and we can't do it ourselves, so we have to have it. That's why I know it's right beyond the threshold. It's right there. I love how this ends. I love how it ends. This is one of my favorite endings to one of my favorite Bible stories. And when he took also the mantle of Elijah, I'm going to be using this, Brother Thomas. If you got a jacket on, take it off right now. If you got a handkerchief, whatever you got, take it off, a tie, I don't care. If you got nothing but your notebook, and hold it in your hand. I'm not one to do a lot of theatrics like this, but this is what God is asking of us to do. He took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and he stood at the bank of the Jordan River, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and what did he do with it? He smote the waters. And as he smote the waters, he said, where is the supernatural? Where are the healings? Where are the miracles? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote the waters. He smote the water. Why? Because he knew that there was power. He knew there was authority in that mantle. We have the same power. We have the same authority. And we have the mantle. And we gotta smoke the waters. And what happened? The waters parted. If he would have never have exercised that authority, and God is saying, church, church, I give you the power. I give you the authority. Smote the waters. Smote the waters. Try me. Test me. Prove me. I don't need to say come to the altar tonight, church.
We need to take and smoke the waters in our lives. We need to get to that point. Listen, repentance. Repentance should have been back at Gilgal. Repentance, that's back behind us. We need to move forward. We need to move forward. We need to say, God, God, I pray, Lord, I challenge. Challenge me, God, to seek after. Challenge me, God, to prove you.
Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer.
You need a healing in your body tonight. Smoke the water.
The fire of my altar never burned.
Need a miracle in your life. Smoke the water.
Never burned out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out.
If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, I challenge you to come down here and smoke the water. And God will fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost.